Hello, this is Chichi.
And Donnie fucking don't.
And the topic of the week is property posted on September 1st, 2024.
Are you an anarchist? Do you have things? Do you own them? If so, tell us how. Pick and choose any of the questions you prefer, or make up your own with regards to the topic of property. What are your anarchist ethics with regards to property? Which anarchist author has helped shape your attitudes and theory towards property? How do you acquire, maintain, share, and manage your property anarchically? Do you steal, borrow, pay? Do you use it, quote, for the cause? How do you employ it in mutual aid? Is property freedom? Is the regime of property inherently civ and not anarchist? Can it be abolished? Talk to us about community gardens and collective housing projects. Can you own land? Can you give it back? How is owning land different from owning a toothbrush? How is a land project different than a toothbrush project? What are the pros and cons of squatting a house versus owning a house? How do you deal with your last will and testament, including the legal aspects? All right. That's a lot of questions.
Yes.
I appreciate that. That's good prompts.
Do you want to start?
No, why don't you take a swing at it?
Okay. I will start with the drawing, actually, because it's makes a difference between property and possession. And I mean, and I would like, I'm not really starting with the draw, but I would like to start with my definition of property and possession.
Sure.
First, I don't think property is just private property. When we're talking property, we're also talking state property. And from my perspective, that is not just mine. I'm sorry, I'm not good to quote the things that I've discussed with before. But it's like anarchists from this point of view are always against property. Doesn't matter if it's state property or private property. And possessions, and I think it might come in the name, it has to do with the use and the work, and it doesn't mean it's forever. It's like while you're using something or working with something, it's in your possession. It's your possession. And it doesn't need to be forever, and you can pass it along, and it doesn't need any formal things. And I think in the way that we live nowadays, both things can exist, and I don't ever, and answering some of the questions already that were nothing related to property is anarchistic. It doesn't mean that we don't deal with property because we live in a capitalist world that doesn't actually leave much room for us to leave other, to deal with some things otherwise. There are ways, but even to use one example, and I'm jumping too far, I guess, right now before all the discussions, but just a small example, like even the indigenous reservation that supposedly are indigenous property that the people who live there would be able to do what they want, they can't because it's still state property. It's not theirs, and it's still subjected. And here in the US or in other countries, it's still subjected to the state law. So it's, yeah, that's a difference. I do want to bring, and of course, this shows in the comments, and I do want to bring Stirner there because in that sense, I do agree with him. Like your only property is your own, is your body. And that's the biggest problem for the state because it's really hard. They do want to control your own, your property that is your body. But it's really hard to do it. And they try with all the, but at the end, like the person who has control over your body, it's you. And yeah, that's an amazing thing, I think. Anyway, so this is just generally where I want to start. I actually just want to start defining property and possession on my perspective. But I, yeah, went some sides. Any thoughts?
Yeah, as usual, I'm like not super interested in definitions. I guess that's not as usual. Sometimes I'm very interested in definitions. But in regards to property, it seems like, I mean, in regards to owning property within, like, yeah, a capitalist system, I think the part that like moralistic or lifestyle, whatever you want to call it, like approaches to that overlook is just that if you don't own the property you're living on, somebody else owns the property you're living on. And it's an extremely binary situation. So to have any level of autonomy on a plot of land, like, unfortunately, at least in the US, like, you largely need to own it. I mean, you can squat state land for a while, but like you were just saying, like, that's not, like, you're not free on that land.
Yeah, you know? But absolutely agree with you. But I also think that the way you relate it to the thing, it can be like, you can have a relationship with that land as it is your possession. You know, you can work on, like, you squat and you use that, and that's yours in that sense, not yours as your property. That's what I mean, like, the property, it's always, like, it's not anarchist ever, like, treating something as property is never an anarchist thing, but you can possess, and, like, even when you rent a place, there are ways you can deal with that. Like, I can move into a rent house or room and be in that space as it, like, I possessed it because I live there, I use there, that's mine that time. But also I can just treat it as a property. And that's, I think, when somebody lives in a place and treat it like have no relationship to it, it's like, because it's just, it treats as somebody else's property. And it's two things that can exist both at the same time. Like, you possess something that it's not your property. There is a few other examples in the comments, but that's not necessarily the example I'm giving here. But yeah, like, somebody else's property can also be your possession.
Yes. And as long as all the projects you want to do on it are extremely short-term in nature. And,
yes, it's temporary.
And don't take time for, like, fruit trees to mature or building projects that might take multiple years, then that is absolutely a relationship that you could have to property.
I think nowadays it's harder and harder to do that, like, to actually create, like,
I'm only talking about nowadays. I'm not interested in 100 years ago.
Okay, what I mean by nowadays, I mean it's getting harder.
Yes.
But I want to point to that I don't think it's still impossible. I feel like, I don't want to say where we live, but I feel like here, you can get away a lot of years with squatting some places, not necessarily houses, but maybe lands, you know, like, maybe there's a land behind the house you live in. And I feel like you could get away of using that piece of land, even though it was not your property.
Yes.
For a long time, or allowed somebody else. I mean, I'm just saying there are ways.
Without naming the city, the last house that we lived in and we owned, the previous owner had built an entire deck and patio on an adjacent lot that was not his and had essentially been squatting that lot. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, could have done some more interesting things with that. Anyway, sure. It doesn't matter. But yeah, it's an example
we gardened that lot. Yeah.
It's an example that it also shows that the possession thing, it doesn't even work only with anarchists. Other people can do it. And sometimes when they take it to the court, like, after I don't know how many years, then they turn into property. Then it's something else.
Sure. But I mean, like, a lot of the times, like, this, like, possession thing, it just backfires. Where, like, I grew up in a part of Connecticut that had a lot of space, and, like, one of a really fantastic organizer that I knew rented a large section of warehouse space that had just been absolutely disgusting. Dozens of punks showed up. He wanted to turn into a venue. Dozens of punks showed up to clean it out. More showed up to do fantastic graffiti, like, some local graffiti writers who were, like, nationally famous tattoo artists and stuff, like, came and did nice murals. You know, people found timber to build a stage and a door and stuff. And we really fixed it up nice. And what we had actually done was just improve the landlord's property, and he didn't renew the lease, you know? So that's kind of what I mean. It's like, I'm part of why I don't put a lot of energy into a landlord's property is I'm not interested in adding value to their property just so that they can kick me out.
Yeah.
I don't want to get stuck on how, I mean, if you have more thoughts on it, we can talk about how we relate to other people's property, but.
I do. Then there's also one of the questions that ask what anarchists you were influenced you. And in this example you're giving, like Proudhon, property is a theft, and that's how you're showing property is a theft. You fucking work that land, like you leave that land, you use that land, and then somebody else comes, oh, I have the paper, it's mine now, like all the work you did, it's mine, it's, you can't have. So yeah, fucking, yeah, that's very simplistic, but anyway, anyone can go and read Proudhon.
Sure.
But it's just, yeah, the property is that you don't have any, you didn't work, you don't use, and you just grab it and...
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, more interesting to me, I think, is examples of how people have related to possession.
Mm-hmm.
And... yeah, certainly the city we live in, especially a few years ago, you could get away with squatting for a very long time. Negotiating possession on a few different trips out to Slab City, which for folks who are not familiar with it, is not an anarchist project, but it is an anarchistic project in a lot of ways. And it's not a communal project. It's like what you would expect of like an American mass squatting project, in that it's like a weird individualistic fever dream, but also like raises interesting questions and has cool examples as well, a lot of the time. And basically you're like, for lack of a better term, property there. People use that term because I think they understand that no one there actually owns anything. You basically pick a spot of land and you line it with trash or rocks and you build your stuff in it. And if you leave for a couple seasons and no one maintains it or watches it for you, then other people can take it, you know?
Yeah.
But while you're there, assuming you're not in severe conflict with anybody else, like your property lines are generally respected.
Yeah, that sounds like, I never been there, but it sounds like a possession kind of relationship to the space. What I would expect in a anarchist community may be like, yeah, you're using it and sure, you can go out for like a certain period. And if you know you're coming back and such, like somebody can look for you. It's not a big deal. But also if you don't come back for a long time, I'm sorry, like somebody else might use it.
Yeah. Well, and again, while I did find it to be like a very individualistic place, that also speaks to some level of like communalism, where like, or at least like interconnectedism, right? Where if you have strong relationships there, then you can find a number of people to look after your stuff. Whereas if you come and don't bother to connect with people, no one will look after your stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It forces you to have a relationship, not only with that piece of land, but yeah, with the surroundings, yeah, and the people.
For folks who are less familiar, I mean, you can Google it or watch videos, but essentially it's an abandoned military base a few hours east of LA and like a couple hours north of the border that in the 90s peaked at around 5,000 inhabitants, but after a few ordinances that the state of California passed making life there more difficult, gets down to a couple hundred over the summer and balloons to about 1,000 over the winter, at least pre-pandemic. I haven't been there since pandemic, but it's cool. You know, there's like a stage and cabarets every week, and there's a big library run by anarchists, and there's a Wi-Fi, you know, cafe, and there's a regular cafe where you can get coffee and P.O. box access and stuff. And people build really neat stuff there. But yeah, it's not formally interconnected in any way. What I think was the most interesting thing about it was a neat glimpse of, I think, what happens when like normies do anarchy, you know,
mm-hmm.
Where like a lot of those people are not ideologically anarchists at all, but like with the promise of free space to do the thing they want to do, they've like shown up and done it, you know?
I mean, I hear normies all the time, especially in the A News comments, but I also wonder, like, I mean, there was even a topic of the week discussing normies, which I don't want to go there. But like, I wonder if also the people who are available to do it, like, can then be considered normies?
I mean, well, yeah, I mean, that's fair. Like, at what point do you cease being a normie? I guess non-anarchists.
Yeah.
People who would like to live to some degree outside of law and property, but who are not ideologically consistent with different anarchistic tendencies.
Which makes me, because sometimes people like mix the thing with the liberals and anarchists, because if you look fast enough there, you can find a lot of similarities. But I think that one of the things that would separate anarchists from liberals is the relationship to the property. Like, liberals, they do want the property, they value the property, and not the possession, the property. And anarchists are against it. And that's usually when I think it's bullshit when they call themselves anarcho-capitalist or something, because they say they don't want the state. That's bullshit. If you have property, you need the state, because you need someone to protect it. You need the police. You need something. Like, so yeah, they might want like what you call minimum state, whatever it means. But yeah, it's also bullshit when they say they don't want the state because of property. That's the, and just to bring a few more, I wish I had read, went back to my the things that helped me understand the things with property and stuff, or that caught my attention when I was much younger, because I remember like being very young, and Proudhon was also always very hard for me to read for some reason. I mostly learned it through discussions with other people, but Tolstoy was one that what I remember I would read. And it was a simple reading, and I would absolutely agree with him. I wouldn't absolutely agree with him today, but I still think it had a great impact on me. And it had to do with how he perceived the laws as violence. And he and Proudhon had a conversation. Like, Proudhon wrote, Tolstoy wrote Peace and War based on a book of Proudhon's book, but Proudhon was a political philosophical book that had the same name or a very similar name. And then Tolstoy wrote the thing based on it, which I never read, but it's on my list. And Tolstoy, even though like he was a Christian anarchist, he actually tried to deal with the property. Like, his family had properties, and he turned it like in possessions to everyone who lived in the land and worked in the land. And suddenly, like, it was not his property. Of course, when he passed, his family took it over. That's fucking what happens still nowadays with, and that takes me to one of the questions that they made that I find an interesting question, but also I don't know if I didn't think much through it, but I thought it was an interesting to think about, that how anarchists deal with last will and testament, like, and the legal part. And I wonder if you have any thoughts on it.
Not particularly.
Okay. Yeah, I always think I have no property and but I still always think like what I would do, and mostly my thoughts, because my possessions, now I do not have as many books because I left and gave them away. But I remember that my thought was always, okay, so this, I want to go to this group. This, I want to go to this group. And, or this, I want to go to my sibling, or this. But it's not, they are, yeah, they had never, they don't, they have nothing to do with property. But also, if I had a property, and I think depends on what would happen in my life, I would feel inclined to give it back to people who help me in life. You know, like, I wouldn't have some things, like, I wouldn't be able to do some things if such and such people didn't help me. But also, I know these people are very generous people, so they wouldn't, like, so that's my thought. Yeah, and in a capitalist world, I feel like I would have to write it down and make it law just to make sure that no fucking asshole would do something else with that. But it's not something that I'm like, oh, I want this property to make sure that this, but I feel like I would like to, just because I don't trust the system that we live in, I would, if I had anything, I would want to have it written down, but I would also the people that is always in my mind, it's like friends or sometimes family that I really value some as person, not as like being my family, but I admire as individuals or whatever, and that I know are not going to fight or anything. I don't, in my country, it's, I find it interesting that every time somebody dies, like the family turn against each other. It's not uncommon for that to happen. But I really feel like with my close family, this wouldn't happen. Like because we've been through situations like this and it didn't happen. And I feel like it still wouldn't happen. I think I'm very lucky in this sense. Like they would do it. I feel like they would, we would be in the same page of what to do with my former possessions that are not mine anymore because I'm dead.
Yes.
Anyway, it's not that important. I just, when I read it and I thought, oh yeah, that can be an issue because yeah, if you live, let's say you live in a collective house, but it happens like that you have the signature of the property and there is all these other people that live in your house and you all live there, you all use the space and you all have the relationship with the space as it's a communal space. But then if your family are assholes and you pass, they might want to take it from, I don't know how it works here in the US, but I think usually it goes to the family. And if you have, and thinking about Tolstoy, like if you have a asshole family, they might fight for it and get it. And yeah, and that's what happened in our recent history. And if you think of gay rights, that was one of the issues that made, I still think marriage sucks, but I understand sometimes because like you had two people that shared their lives and they built this thing together and one of them die and things happen to be in their name and they're not recognized officially. And then the other person is left like empty because their family were not supportive and just took it. And anyway, but these are, I think I would say these are solutions. These are not anarchist solutions. These are ways that as anarchists, you learn to navigate in a world that it's not like you need to take into consideration that you live in a capitalist world that takes over everything, like almost everything, like even again, the indigenous reservations, they don't even fucking belong. Like, even though they were like clearly stolen, that was like in a very recent past, like stolen, taken from, so you have even proof that that happened. And still, when the state, quotes, give it back, it doesn't really give it back. It says like, okay, you can live there. It's still our property. We're not giving it. Like, it's not, it doesn't belong to the indigenous people that used their whole entire lives and generations. It doesn't belong to them. It still belongs to the fucking state. Even though it was like clearly and documented theft. Anyway, so yeah, you end up finding ways of dealing with it. And that's why in other indigenous groups, people end up like learning how to deal with laws and such and yeah. Such because, yeah, you're dealing with a fucked up enemy that...
Speaking of the indigenous groups and property, I know one of the reforms or whatever you want to call them, changes from the last like Zapatista declaration was that they were shifting lands that had been held communally for Zapatista community members to use for farming, gardening, agriculture, whatever, that they were shifting to also allow non-Zapatista community members to use those lands, in part because the government had been using it as a wedge issue to create hostilities between Zapatista communities. And so, yeah, they're abolishing even the like very, basically even the possession ideas, you know, around that. I mean, they'll have to figure out how to negotiate square footage or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
You can't literally grow, you know, on the same foot of, but I mean,
you could. The problem is, I think it's a matter like, because people have all property in their minds, like they have a mindset of property. Would they be, it's not everyone that would be able to, okay, let's share this space and let's produce together and we all can consume it. Hopefully they find people like that. But a lot of people would, okay, no, I'm producing this little square here. Everything that grows inside here is mine and you can't touch it. And it has very, like, it doesn't have this sense of like, no, no, this is land that we are all producing and using and feeding ourselves. And
Yeah. So their new declaration, is that it simply belongs to nobody, but that they will enforce the idea that it belongs to nobody. Which I think is an interesting development. I think squatting in the U.S. used to be a lot harder in some ways, not in others, but insofar as that, like, a lot of times other punks or anarchists did not respect, like, possession with squats because since they are land, it was viewed as, like, property, essentially. And so, like, oftentimes the person who cracked the squat had to deal with other people feeling entitled to then come and inhabit that place. I think in a lot of ways that's, like, solved itself, just because I think anarchists used to lean towards, like, pacifism and nonviolence a lot more. And now that we're, like, over that, it's more socially acceptable to beat somebody out of your squat. But I know for a long time it was a real problem.
Yeah. Also, just a comment. I do think that it's less common between anarchists here, thankfully, but in the US, like, as a cultural shock for me, it was that, like, everyone has their own things. Like, when you move into a place, like, in the free, like, food is not collective. And for me, food, it's something that it's so, and I understand some people contribute more and less, and sometimes they do it not because they don't, they can't, but just because they are ass and you have to deal with it. But I, like, I grew up with a thing that food is always collective. So when you move in with people, you share the food. And of course, like, you need to establish some things, like, okay, so these things, and even like, oh, I really like this thing, so please, if you get it, can you replace it? Because I really enjoyed this. Or, but yeah, it's our food. It's, and here, when I first moved in, like, it was, everyone has their own thing. And, but even that, it's possible to break, because as I said, I moved to this house, to a room in a house with a lot of other people rent the rooms. And with time, the way I would do it, like, I would cook something and I would offer to everyone. And with time, people would cook something and offer me and offer to, they don't necessarily offer to everyone, but I mean, as people start, you know, when they see that happening, they start, and they start to have a more communal relationship with that, instead of like, this is my property.
Well, you also, when you first moved here, lived in, like, essentially, like, an informal boarding house where, like, strangers were moved in and out by the owner and you all just shared, like, a kitchen and a bathroom, basically. That has not been my experience living in, like, collective or communal or even, like, punk houses, really. There's, like, some amount, I think, of, like, food ownership, just because different people eat different stuff, or different people might acquire different stuff. Or, like, two of the houses I lived in, you labeled your section of the fridge, not because other people couldn't eat your food, but because when you have six people living in a house, no one knows whose is what. And so stuff just, like, rots in the back. And so we each had a section of the fridge
that you were responsible
for keeping clean. And if you were putting leftovers in the fridge, you put them in that part, so that if your thing started dripping or fucking growing, someone could be like, dog, your part of the fridge stinks and is fucking everything up. And I liked that. I think some of the
punks are not always nice. They can be pretty much assholes with other people thinking, say, yeah, anarchy, I'm going to get whatever I want. And it's just a fucking bread.
And even in well-intentioned houses, I mean, like, one of the houses I lived in, I was acquiring like good peanut butter, like organic peanut butter, you know, and it was a cornerstone of my diet at the time. And I don't think anyone else in the house realized it because there were eight of us, but we were going through a full jar a day. And it was mine that we were going through, you know?
Yeah.
And then I asked folks to like try to replace it, and other folks maybe were paying for peanut butter more than I was. And so they were replacing it with like cheap shit with fucking hydrogenated oils and like high fructose corn syrup that like I wasn't into eating. And so, yeah, I started keeping peanut butter in my room, you know?
Yeah.
Partially because I didn't like the social stigma of having to label it, but also like the collective nature of that particular food item like broke down very quickly.
Yeah. Living collective is not easy, and people do things not, yeah, sometimes they are assholes, sometimes they're not, sometimes they're clueless, sometimes they were raised in a different way that they don't realize some social things and they have from it. And here I'm not saying that it's who was raised poor versus who was raised rich. It's really like how a person, had growing up was taught the relationship with things were. It's not easy, but anyway, even those problems in squats, I think, are not as big as the problems we have with state and such.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. Do you want to answer any specific question from the... We can go through them and see if we have
anything. You can. I mean, the Zapatistas thing, the troubles with squatting in a scene with entitled people, and Slab City were my big three ideas around property. Beyond that, I don't have a whole lot to contribute, probably. We can look at some of the questions, though, sure.
Yeah, just some of the questions, I think I would just cut them off. Like, there is one, is property freedom? No, of course not. Yeah. Unless you're talking about liberal freedom, it's not an anarchist freedom.
Do you steal, borrow, pay, and do you use it for the cause? When I was young, I acquired a lot of stuff and definitely felt like the fact that I think my appearance allowed me to acquire that stuff very easily, I felt kind of obligated to like tithe, for lack of a better word, to various projects. Not obligated. I mean, I did it happily, you know, but yeah, the fact that I was getting groceries for free and stuff meant that I should be kicking some down to different projects and, you know, book projects and that kind of stuff. And certainly like back when copy scams were flush, you know, I used to do a lot of that, obviously, for different projects. What am I going to do with 5,000 zines, you know?
Yeah, that's one thing. Like, with property, you want to accumulate. With possessions, it's even inconvenient if you accumulate. Like, yes. You don't want to accumulate, so share it. And when you need it again, like, that's another thing.
Yes, that's certainly true.
That's why I love places like libraries and such. Like, yeah, you might want to keep a few books with you, but you really... having them circulating, and you can pick up them when you need in another time and not having to carry them around. Oh. It's very convenient.
Well, and that's a popular idea lately that I hear on a lot of different podcasts and short form writing, is the phrase like library socialism, which would be like a non-state, or at least is compatible with like non-state models, or yeah, essentially like the city we live in, one of the neighborhoods has like a tool library, you know, where, yeah, you can have a bunch of communal stuff or whatever you want to call it, where people can just go and use it. And as long as people are responsible and you have a few committed people to that institution.
And some things will disappear. We know it disappear in the library too. And yeah, that's just, you have to deal with that. I still think it's worth it.
Yep. Well, and again, if you have a few sticky-fingered benefactors, then, you know, maybe that stuff can get replaced as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Squatting a house versus owning a house is on here. I have come very close to squatting several times, and honestly, the thing that oftentimes had me pivot from it was that I was offered, like, a renting situation that was, like, barely more expensive than squatting, since you need to fix your own shit with squatting. And the idea of the police not being able allowed to come in was very appealing to me.
Yeah.
Similarly, the place we lived, like, we had friends who moved here to squat and then saw how fucking cheap the houses were and opted to just buy them instead.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, the advantages of, like, having a property in this sense is really, like, saving yourself some of headaches. You acquire different kind of headaches.
For sure.
Yeah, it's just, I think it always, like, you finding ways to navigate in this capitalist world. And yeah, with squatting, you have to have some physical energy and such, because you might be kicked out after, and for me, it's like frustrating, like, after working on that thing for a long time, and then it's taken by, and usually by force. Yeah, I lived in a squat just for a couple of months. It's a lot of work that you put in there, like, even like from cooking and trying to, and fixing things and all. And yeah, and I didn't even live there that much. And then I moved out at some point because it was in a different country. And then I heard it was taken by the police, and it's like, just so heartbreaking. And you think of all the people who are living there, and yeah, it sucks. So it's, yeah, I think it's great. And it's a way of you also making your, like, stand up for,
yeah,
for something that is important and real and whatever. I don't know,
yeah,
what's the right word, but yeah, you just learn to, you find your ways to navigate in this fucking stupid word that we
live. Well, and just, yeah, within the framework of the country that we live in and the laws that it has, like, property that you're paying rent on or owning is just a whole fundamentally different set of physics. You know what I mean? Like, depending on what your possessions are at the time, if your possessions is several crates of spray paint, or if your possessions include illegal drugs, or if your possessions include guns or something like that, like, it's very different possessing firearms on a property that you have a lease on or that you own versus possessing firearms in what, in the eyes of the state, is just an abandoned house.
Yeah.
You know, that's really different. And if there is an altercation there, the context for that altercation is really different, you know?
Yeah.
If someone enters and tries to do you harm and you wind up harming them in the process of defending yourself, like, you weren't a person to them, you're not a person, like, defending yourself, you're just like one homeless dude who, like, beat the shit out of another homeless dude in an abandoned house.
I would say support your local squad.
Yes.
Help defend it.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Is that a rap?
That's a shitty rap, but yeah, sure.
All right. Yep, that's one more in the what do you call it, in the can, in the books, in the whatever. Donnie fucking don't.
And Chi Chi, take care, bye.
Have a good night, everyone. You said I'm gonna buy this place, burn it down. I'm gonna put it 6 feet underground. Said I'm gonna buy this place and watch it fall. Stand here beside me, baby, in the crumbling walls. Oh, I'm gonna buy this place. Stand here until I feel all your heart's desires, because I'm gonna buy this place and see it burn. Do you burn the sea?